Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, May 5th, 2017. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am good. Thanks for having us. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's the musical episode.
Yes.
And John Martellaro, how are you?
Hey, today must be Whiskey Day. May the 5th be with you.
Oh, man, he's been waiting. He's been waiting to say that for like an hour and a half. He's been like, He's been holding that in. He's just like, oh, I can't wait for the show to happen because I'm going to make the best joke ever.
Yeah. And John, I can't wait until we're in the same place at the same time so we can share that fifth. It will be quality.
Yes, it will.
Whiskey.
Yes,
or bourbon.
What if it's Beethoven Day?
Then we'll drink to Beethoven.
Oh, that's clever. I like what you thought. That's good.
We'll have a fifth while we listen to the fifth.
I like it.
I like this booze. I like this booze. See? Totally works.
It's better when John Martellaro pays.
It always tastes better when John pays. Hey, we have a sponsor.
And I owe you probably one, right? Or I owe you lunch.
Oh, yeah. Lunch and drinks.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to that. I was saying we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Away. They make awesome suitcases, and I'm so glad they've been tolerant all week long, just like all of our listeners. Anyhow, we have stuff to talk about. And first up, John, you posited that Apple is intentionally, or at least okay with letting iPad sales take a dip. What's up with that?
Well, I have a feeling, you know, it's unlike the situation with the Mac, where I've had a sinking feeling for the past few years because I have a Mac Pro, glorious black cylinder. I have kind of a hunch about what Apple's up to with the iPads. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the sales, and I published in the article yesterday why Apple's letting iPad sales drift downward. I published my numbers spreadsheet chart of all the iPad sales per quarter ever since the iPad shipped. And I did a sort of a really rough least squares fit. I just eyeballed it. And if you draw a line through the declining sales, it looks like iPad sales go to zero somewhere around 2021. And so Apple executives have to have been aware of this for quite a while. The sales started dropping in 2013. And I hypothesize that there was a two-phase program. The first phase was the iPad Pros. Remember, the iPad Pro took a while. We were writing about it long before it came out. It took Apple a while to ship the 12.9-inch iPad Pro. They announced it in September 15, and I think it shipped in November 15. That's when you and I bought ours. Mm-hmm. And the iPad Pro, along with its little brother, the 9.7-inch iPad Pro, has not exactly turned around the sales, despite Apple's initiatives in the enterprise and the partnership with IBM and the sales analytics tools that business people are using on their iPads. It's still a depressingly depressed curve of sales. So I got the idea that, you know, based on what Tim said at the earnings call on Tuesday, mm-hmm. he just kind of bluntly said, well, you know, it was more than we expected, which took me aback quite a bit. And I wrote about that. And I think he's just taking the heat and saying something without giving anything away, without saying, oh, no, we're going to fix the problem. I think they're just letting the sales drift downwards because they've been working on something cool, some engineering thing. Apple surprises us from time to time, and I think this is the perfect project, the perfect product, the perfect time for Apple to have been developing some new way of thinking about the iPad that we don't know about yet. Because you just can't let these numbers go down, even though you may like the revenue you're generating. Even though you may be gaining share in some markets, even though the cumulative sales are good, even though there aren't any other tablets worth having, this number that's heading towards zero is not a good thing for Apple. And so I just have this feeling, it's just a gut hunch that Apple's going to do something. One of those hunches is that Apple would produce a large iPad that could run Mac OS.
Man, you've been I've been on that bandwagon.
I've been pining away with a Rosetta-like, you know, translator so that you could run Mac OS apps on a big screen iPad with a mouse. And that would solve a lot of problems. It would give you a Mac with a touchscreen display. It would allow them to transition to the iPad of the future while maintaining, you know, powerful desktop machines as they've already committed to with the next generation Mac Pro. But for a lot of customers, you know, having a Mac, which is essential for a Mac customer, whatever it is, notebook, mini, iMac, and then having an iPad, and then having an expensive iPhone as well, is kind of a stretch for a lot of customers. And so if you had a nice single screen, beautiful display that ran your iPad apps and ran your Mac apps, I think you'd be happy as a duck in water. And it would give Apple a path forward, because as long as the Mac endures, the iPad's never going to carry the flag. The iPad is just this, you know, little 12-inch device with high limitations, not much expandability. You know, it does wonderful things for certain people. I know, you know, people travel with it. The businessmen love it. Salespeople love it. Writers, artists. It's a cool tool for education, students. Mm-hmm. It does a lot of things really well. But in terms of carrying the flag for Apple forward and making the Mac part of the past after, what, 33 years, is just not doing it. And I think the long upgrade cycles that people are experiencing because of the slow technology development and the security limitations of the iPad, combined with the fact that it's an additional device to buy if you want it, has contributed to this steadily downward decline of sales ever since 2013. And how much longer can that endure? So something dramatic's got to happen. And this big screen iPad is just one example from me of a thing that Apple could do that could, you know, set us back on our heels and amaze us and astound us. Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool if Apple did something so dramatic and so amazing? We'd be talking about it day in, day out for months and months. Isn't it time for something like that? I just have a feeling they're going to do that something with the iPad. And I think it's taking a lot of engineering time to bring everything together. And I also have a hunch. I didn't put it in the article because I try to keep the articles at high level. But I'll admit that I kind of have a hunch that APFS is playing a role in this too, that it was sort of a necessary but insufficient condition to move forward.
APFS meaning Apple's new file structure for hard drives and SSDs.
To run Mac OS and iOS on the same machine. I just have a hunch. I wish I had more technical insight into that. I don't, I admit.
Brian, you've been stunningly quiet.
Yeah, I dozed off somewhere between...
Here comes the balderdash. The big
screen. No, okay, I mean, first of all, I hope that John's right. John, I hope that you're right. I hope that Apple has like looked at iPad and said, you know, we had all these visions about essentially this replacing PCs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, post PC era, all this business. And it turns out that the limitations of this form factor mean that we are in what Brian said long before Steve Ballmer said, a PC plus era, not a post PC era. And yes, in my fantasies, they're specifying that I said it before Steve Ballmer because, you know, screw Steve Ballmer. And I hope that that's the case. And it's you know, during the conference call, Tim Cook talked to us about, you know, this great pipeline that Apple's got, and he talked about how people aren't buying current iPhones because of rumors about the next iPhone, which I'm not having that whatsoever, you know.
And supply constraints on the iPad, where does that come from? After 7 years of building iPads, he whines that They could have sold more, except for supply constraints. What's with that from the supply chain maestro?
Well, Apple needs to show something to me. I mean, Apple needs I have gotten to where the proof will be in the pudding for this supposed magic pipeline that we don't ever see any indications of, and in terms of Apple actually being able to do something with iPad. Now, mind you, I still love my iPad. I still use it as a consumption device for hours a day.
Oh yeah,
and I use mine as a my Pro as a content creation device all the time.
Yeah, I don't, but you do. I guess I do when I'm using my iPad as part of my editing process for writing fiction.
Yeah, that totally qualifies.
But even there, it's a PC Plus device. It's not a PC replacement. It's not a post PC device for me personally.
Yeah, and same for me. It is a supplement to my workflow, but not the core of it.
So I love iPad and. But I don't think that the current approach to iPad fulfills the promise that Steve had, the vision that Steve mm-hmm. had, and that Tim backed up, that it was a PC replacement for a lot of people.
I agree.
It doesn't quite fulfill that. So to that end, I hope that John is right. And to be fair, as many frustrations as I have with Apple on shipping products, which Apple used to do and no longer does, as many issues as I have with that, Apple is still the company to recognize a problem like this and find a new way of thinking about it, for sure. So I hope that John is right, and I hope that that's even that John's idea here is not only addressing why Apple is content to let iPad sales drift down, but also part of this dearth of any kind of iterative products. I hope that that's the case.
I got to say something about this post PC era. You know, we all thought that the iPad a few years ago was going to take off and leave the PC behind because PCs were so crappy. There was this commodity thing, the drive to the bottom. You know, Windows XP was not very good. Windows 7 helped, but Windows 8 was another disaster. So we all got the feeling that crappy hardware and crappy Windows meant that the future was Android and iOS. But then guess what happened? The PC makers started coming out with stunning hardware. And Windows 10 got really good and secure. And in my mind, the PC industry turned it around.
I think the jury's still out on that. Also, I think one of Brian's gaskets just ruptured and he's leaking.
Yeah. Do I even need to allow?
No, it's okay. I don't think duct tape on that leak.
I don't think the PC industry is shipping a lot of stunning hardware. I think that the PC industry has stepped up its game, but that's about it. I mean, like, you know, I called the Surface laptop sexy, but I was talking about the way the darn thing looked. It's underpowered and underported, and
yeah, it's basically a 2-year-old computer.
Don't forget, it has this fancy, really nice
case.
You know, We think nothing of connecting a dock to our MacBook or MacBook Pros.
Yeah, because Apple has trained us to.
Surface laptop has a really nice dock that comes with it, too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Come with it. It's extra cost.
The Surface laptop is sexy looking, and it's underpowered, underported, and underrammed. So, I mean, it's sexy looking, man. It is sexy looking. I stand behind my that knee jerk gut reaction that I had to that thing.
Yeah, but what if it was running Windows XP? Would you buy it?
No. But what if it was running OS 10? I might buy it instead of an Air. Instead of a 2-year-old Air.
Yeah.
You'd still be buying a 2-year-old computer.
It's Apple, just, the king of displays. Of yeah. Well, with a better display.
Yeah. Yeah, higher resolution display,
and it would have roughly the same amount of RAM in it too. So I don't know.
No, it would have exactly the same amount of RAM.
stunning, whatever. We don't need to go down much more down that rabbit hole. I appreciate what John is saying. I don't quite, he's such a much better person than me, and he's so much nicer and
that's not true.
And more considerate. So, you know, I still look at most of the PC world and stick my nose up in the air and go.
Yes, you do. I've seen that many times.
Yeah. Do you need to hear that again?
and the little head flutter and eye flutter that goes with it.
Oh yeah.
It's a whole delivery.
It's a thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my wife, I got to tell you, my wife's a professor and she teaches Unix and Python and Java, and she lives and breathes Windows every day, and she's getting her work done and enjoying teaching her students how to program on Windows computers. It can be done.
Yeah. I don't want a tool
that just lets me accomplish something. I want a tool that inspires me, that makes me feel free to do what I want. And I get more of that from iOS and macOS than I do from any flavor of Windows.
Well, I'll tell you, I wasn't inspired when I was running El Capitan on this Mac Pro and it was crashing three times a day.
No, but think of all the breaks
you got to fix that.
That's just nitpicking, isn't it?
That wasn't for me. It was painful.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding. I feel your pain for sure.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Away, and Away makes my new favorite carry-on suitcase. They make other suitcases, bigger suitcases too, but I have the carry-on, which is coincidentally named Carry-On, and holy crap, I love this bag. When I got it and took it out of the box, my first thought was, oh, plastic. Crap. And it turns out, well, no, it's not actually plastic. It's this like crazy powerful, strong yet flexible polycarbonate. So they can make this really thin shell that's going to hold up to everything. And so you end up with this really lightweight suitcase that is flexible. So if you overstuff it, the hard sides just kind of stretch out a little bit. It's just like this amazing bag. And for me to say that is saying a lot, because I am very particular about the bags that I use. And when I find a bag that I like, I stick with it. And that makes it very hard for me to give up whatever my current bag is for something new. But then I got this and I didn't even think twice. It's my new carry-on, hands down. That's it. If I'm traveling with just a carry-on, this is the bag that's going on the plane with me. And if this is a video show, you would have seen me point to it because it's over in the corner right now. But the point is, really great bag, built really well. It's really versatile. I love that it has four wheels instead of two for rolling around. I love that it has that built-in battery pack with USB ports so that I can charge my iPhone and my iPad when I'm in the airport instead of having to fight people like an animal for an outlet. And I love that they're so confident about their bags that they give a 100-day guarantee, and it has lifetime warranty also. So it's when I say this is my new carry-on bag, I'm not kidding. This is my new carry-on bag. Absolutely love it. And I'd love for you guys to have one too. And when we see each other at conferences or airports or wherever we are where we have our bags, let's do selfies because we're cool like that. So head over to the Away website, awaytravel.com/TDO, and then use the discount code TDO. And when you do that, you're going to get $20 off your suitcase. They have the four different sizes. They have several colors to choose from. I went with blue because that's how I roll. They're just fantastic bags, and you guys should really go check them out. I mean, if you travel at all, this is the bag you want to have with you. So awaytravel.com/TDO, use the discount code TDO, get $20 off. And thank you to Away for being our sponsor. All right. So before we wrap up, real quick, what do you guys think? Apple is now the top wearables manufacturer. It's for the first quarter of 2017. They knocked Fitbit out of that top spot.
May I please have the first response?
You may.
me. Ah!
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things that, on one hand, I'm not surprised that this happened, but on the other hand, it kind of took longer than maybe some of us thought.
Well, it's true. As a matter of fact, when I was gloating, I had a bet with a friend of mine that when Fitbit pulled out of the Apple stores, that they would be supplanted as the number one fitness tracker. And we had a time frame on it. And I think that time frame ended roughly 2 years ago. And when I sent her a message gloating, claiming victory, she said, and I quote, dude, if you wait long enough, we all die. So,
well, to be fair, that is true.
She's absolutely, it's a fantastic response. But, you know, I was super cranky with Fitbit's refusal to embrace HealthKit and their, what I thought was their very arrogant approach that they didn't need to, and that, they basically had so much power in the market that they didn't need to play ball with Apple. And so there's a little bit of comeuppance here in my opinion. And,
I think there were a couple things that were major contributors to Fitbit falling, not from first place in the wearables market, which is where they were before, but to third place. So Apple took first place. Xiaomi is now in second place, and they sell a lot of stuff in China. So that's probably accounting for them jumping into second place, and then Fitbit in third. I think that Fitbit's insistence on staying as siloed as they were with our fitness data, and the fact that they were really slow to get into the smartwatch market, I think those were two things that really helped drag them down.
Yeah, but I would add to that the smartwatch market is the Apple Watch market.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a bit of a platform issue here. I mean, there are a ton of reasons why Apple Watch has been successful and all of the smartwatches have not been successful. And that it, part of that is, of course, the fact that Apple focused on fashion. I'm talking to you, John Keat. Second of all, there is the reality that Apple Watch is part of an ecosystem and it's a companion device, and no other company's going to be able to do that.
Right. That's true. But
it takes a big company with a lot of resources to pull all this together. Mm-hmm. And companies that compete against Apple that don't have their financial and R&D resources are going to be having a tough time. I don't know how I feel about that in some way, because really, really, really big companies bring a lot of resources to bear in technology and money. But on the other hand, that makes them kind of big and tough to deal with, too. So yep. Thank goodness Apple is Apple in the way, and they are the way they are.
Well, it also looks like that Apple and other smartwatch makers were seeing the trend earlier than Fitbit, where consumers wanted to have their wrist top smart stuff and their fitness tracking all bundled into a single device. And Apple...
Yeah, but that hasn't helped the Android Wear world, market, industry, whatever. You know, there's a couple of people that are making those things. So
that's working okay for Xiaomi.
Yeah, that's true. But that's true in China, mm-hmm. where the rules are a little bit different. The market's different, but fair enough. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Fair enough. I stand corrected.
All right. Wow.
And it just goes to show Apple's wisdom in not releasing the sales numbers too, because I think everybody else underestimated Apple as a result.
Yeah, and if sales weren't good, Apple had a pre-built excuse for
exactly.
not telling us what those numbers are. But I think Fitbit, they were just way behind the curve on this one.
After being way out in front of the curve.
Yeah.
And I love that Fitbit campaign, the song? Just the commercial, and they got the song, and they're singing about Weebit, Fitbit. I can't remember any of the lyrics now. It's a fantastic commercial. It's a fantastic campaign.
I bet we can go find it on YouTube.
That's true. Yeah. Do you want to drop a note in the show links if I find it?
Yes, please.
Okay. I will do that.
Okay.
It's a great campaign.
Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. And John, thank you for being here today.
You're very welcome.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man. Good stuff.
Yes, indeed. And thank you to Away for being our sponsor all week. Head over to the Away website. That's awaytravel.com/TDO, and then use the discount code TDO and get $20 off the suitcase of your choice. Pick what color you want as well, and you're going to love it. I'm very pleased with my bag, and I bet you'll be happy with yours. And listeners, thanks.
Find Your Fit is the name of it.
Find Your Fit.
That's okay. The name of the campaign and the song and everything.
Cool.
Sorry.
Cool. Oh, that's all right. No, you just totally broke my stride there.
But yeah, whatever. You're welcome.
Sorry, I can get right back into it, though. Hey, listeners, I know you're listening to me even when Brian's interrupting me, so thanks for being here. And we'll see everyone again on Monday.